of Mexico. And it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't have troops in Mexico in a short time.
Wow.
We'll just have to wait and see. And so Mexico's problems are really our problems, but what I want to emphasize is not just the problems there, but the cause of the problems. Let's come to Matthew 24, and we'll see what the cause of the problems are and how things get that way. Verse 12. Now, last year they killed 6,000 people. This year so far, they've killed 1,000. Many of them the policemen whom they are now beheading. Most of the others have been, and the rest of the killings and shootings have been drug gangs against drug gangs. And it's been amazing how many millions of dollars they have seized and how many pounds of heroin, cocaine, marijuana they have confiscated also. So when I say it is collapsing, I'm saying as a nation, it is coming apart because of how Mexico is. It is truly what you would call a growing and increasing lawless nation. And what we are going to see is that we will follow the same pattern somewhere down the road, not too far in the future. So Matthew 24 and verse 12. And we also see this in the world. And when Jesus is talking here in Matthew 24, he's not talking about just isolated things. He's talking about things that will take place in the end time, though these things have happened all the way down from the time of Christ till now. But he's in particularly talking about the end times. So he says in verse 12, "And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold." Now, we also have an example of this right here in the city of Oakland in California. 4 policemen were shot a week ago. And they knew the person that they were arresting was not only a parole violator, but he was also a drug dealer. He was also a rapist, having raped 4 or 5 different women. And so because of the laws of California inflicted upon the police because of the Democrat liberals, and I'm going to bring that on a little bit later, and all liberals, whether they're Democrat or not, that say that you have to have such rules with the police, the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement are this: if you're pulling over someone for a routine stop, you cannot draw your guns beforehand. So here the 2 policemen stopped this guy. They knew who he was, and he pulled over, and they got out and said, "Get out of the car." And so he had the sunroof open. He stood up and shot both of them. And then got out and shot them in the head. And the whole black community is going, oh, poor guy. This was justified killing of the police because of slavery.
Oh, boy.
So he had just recently kidnapped a 12-year-old girl and raped her. And so Mike Savage, who we don't listen to regularly, but we were coming home from Santa Cruz and we turned it on, and he described all of those who were there for the funeral, all of the ones who were responsible, Dellums, Feinstein, Boxer, Jerry Brown, Newsom from San Francisco was there. All of those liberals are the ones who put upon California that you had to have these rules of engagement for the police. Knowing who he was, they should have had the right to have their guns drawn so that they would be able to protect themselves. Well, needless to say, two other policemen came to the rescue and he shot them. But he was also shot in the meantime. And so they had this funeral, nothing about the victims and their families, except, oh, these were nice men, oh, we knew them, and this was wonderful. But you see, one of the ironic things was that 2 weeks before, those four policemen were at the funeral of another policeman who had just been shot. And so if there are any black leaders listening, it is your responsibility to stop the lawlessness within the black community if you think that the white people are picking on you. Likewise in the Latino community. You can go down to L.A. and there are hundreds of square miles in Los Angeles County that you don't dare go into because they are controlled by the Mexicans who belong to La Raza, and La Raza means the race, and they are the ones who want to bring that back into what they call Mazatlan, which is take half of California back to Mexico. And in California, there are more Spanish-speaking radio stations than English-speaking radio stations. And this is what they are preaching. Come across the border, have more children, we'll take over, and at the appropriate time, which will be when? We don't know. But at the time of civil unrest, they're going to stand up, and what's going to happen to the nation? Well, let me tell you what the Russians predict. The Russians predict that America will be divided up into seven different areas. Since the communists are taking over in Washington, D.C., maybe the Russians know something we don't. So are we going to see what's happening in Mexico happen here? Now, that will be tied in with the lawlessness that comes about, which there's... This nation is so full of sin, like I wrote in my letter, you know, they need to repent beginning from the top to the bottom. But of course, they don't believe in God, and if they have a religion, they preach another Jesus, and they don't preach law-keeping, yet they demand that everyone operates by the rule of law, and all of us liberals and atheists and people who want to control will set down the laws and you abide by their dictates. Now there's a book out called Liberal Fascism by Goldberg. And he shows how these things have happened in history over and over and over and over and over again. And these things come as judgments of God upon people who are sinning. Then there was another, I saw this on one of the television stations. There was a man who wrote a book. I forget the title of it, but it was Hitler, Stalin, and Lenin. And they used the same methods that we now see coming out of Washington, D.C. Hitler got in legally. And the first 2 years, he changed everything so much that the Germans couldn't turn it back. Now, what's going to happen in America? All right, we'll see some of the things that are going to happen, and it's going to affect the world. Now, first of all, let's see how this progresses into a lawless society. Let's come back here to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Lawless societies don't happen. They come because people reject the laws of God, reject the laws of the land, and everyone does what is right in his own eyes. Sound a little familiar to the Bible? Last verse in the book of Judges, that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone was a law unto himself, you see. So here's how it progresses. Let's begin here. All right, chapter 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 8. I'm reminded of what Thomas Jefferson wrote. I'll paraphrase it. I don't have the exact quote. He said, "We are going to be in trouble if we ever do as Europe and gather into the cities and stack each other upon each other." Because when you put human beings together that close, it breeds lawlessness. Because the ones who are lawless and sinners become thugs and enforcers. And we've seen in the past, has there been mafia? Yes. Have we had lawless eras when the mafia gangs were shooting each other? How about during the days when they had prohibition? Shooting and killing each other. And really, one of the only things that stopped it was the Depression, and then World War II. So let's see how this progresses. Verse 8. What are those who join house to house? Now, if you want to go to San Francisco and see that fulfilled literally, all the houses have common walls between them. Itty-bitty yard in the backyard, not in the front. Two stories. Get a fire in one house, it generally goes to three. And I remember the first time I came to San Francisco, and I remember as I was driving along, I looked at those houses going up on the hills, house after house after house after house, and I said, boy, they got a lot of condominiums down here, don't they? I didn't realize they were houses. All right? Now look at what we have today. Condominiums, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories tall. They even have them in Oakland where they have one 20 stories high, and you can buy a condominium for $1 million so you can have a good view of San Francisco Bay and get the smell of it when it goes, when low tide comes. Okay? What are those who do that? Okay? And lay field to field until there be no place left. And Dolores and I were talking about this the other day. When we were growing up, we were able to go around the neighborhood any place. Never have to worry. When we lived on a farm, I could go out and I could play in the woods. I could walk across the people's fields. I could go through their barbed wire fences, and I didn't disturb anything. I didn't tear anything down, and I would go up and see my friends that lived a mile away, and my mother had such a voice with a high E that when she called Fred E, I could hear her over a mile away, and I would have to answer, see? And we had fun. Today, you can't do that. Up in Oakland, they have bars on the windows and doors. And when the sun goes down, nobody goes out because of the gangs and shooting. Just like down in Los Angeles and in other cities in America, the same thing. There are groups of lawless people everywhere, and they are all jammed together. All right, verse 9. Continue. And you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. That means sooner or later you're going to be out of your houses. That's starting with repossessions, foreclosures. There are some areas that they say you drive by, and every house is foreclosed upon. There are some malls that are becoming empty, and it's going to increase more. They say about 30% of the malls are going to go in foreclosure and go down. Okay. Verse 9, the Lord of hosts swore in my ears, truly, many houses shall be deserted, even great and fair houses, without inhabitant. One problem they're having in Long Island, New York, right now is what? Repossession of multi-million dollar houses. One man paid $12 million for a house, and he had it on the market for $19. No takers. So now he's got it down to $13 million. He probably won't sell it if he can, even sell it, till he gets down to about $8 million. That's to say nothing of the smaller houses and the other people. And growing up in expanding in different areas are tent cities where the homeless are now gathering more and more and more. And what is that going to do? That's going to breed crime. And think about what happens if all of a sudden, because of lawlessness and commotion, they're able to block off highways and keep deliveries from coming into the cities. Think how quickly supermarkets are going to run out of food and how many riots there will be. Remember what happened when they started Christmas shopping back east someplace? They opened up the doors for Walmart and everyone was so excited to get in there and selfish and pushing their own way, they ran in and trampled over one of the security guys who opened the door. No one paid any attention. They just ran over him. See? Because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. That's where we are. Here's how it happens. Verse 10, yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath. So here shows that starvation is going to come. Now think about the starvation that's going to come when it's mandated that most of the corn goes for ethanol. What are you going to eat? Well, try a fender on your car, see how that is. And the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Now that means a big bag of seed will yield a little basket of produce. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink and to continue into the night while wine inflames them. Now add to that what we're seeing right here. Drugs, cocaine, meth, marijuana. And we are so lawless and so in debt in California, the state is, because we have such a lawless legislature that they will not cut the budget and they won't lay off any of the civil servants. What's the solution? What is the biggest cash crop in California? Marijuana. Ooh, let's legalize it. So we can get the tax money. And I don't think that the Attorney General of the United States, who's in there now, William Holder, will object. Now, isn't that kind of contradictory? We outlaw smoking in all buildings and all the places where there's no smoking, and they tax tobacco, which is far less damaging than marijuana, but they say, oh, goody, let's legalize it, and we'll cut down the crime, and we will get tax revenue from it. Then they're going to have to spend all the money on medical care to take care of them after their health breaks down and their minds go crazy. Okay? So what I'm setting the stage here for something so that you will understand how things are going to come, and I will bring some of the economic things that are going to come as a result of it. Verse 12. And the lyre, the harp, the drum, the pipe, the wine are at their feast. just translate that into rock concerts. Oh, by the way, rock concerts are designed to hypnotize you. Blast the music through every cell of your body, and then have all the strobe lights going around so it's reflecting all of these lights, and that's how they're hypnotized, and they walk out of there, "Woo, did I have a good time?" Hooked. Let's go out and have some pot. Let's go out and have some coke. Oh, let's go out and have some heroin. And they do not regard the work of the Lord. Yea, they do not see the work of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into exile because they have no knowledge. That's where we're headed as a nation. Exile. Don't you think a lot of countries would love that? Especially after what we've done to them economically? Of course, they didn't have any fault in it. And their honorable men are famished, and the multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore, the grave has enlarged its appetite. Now, when I'm reading this, I want you to think about what you've seen in Mexico. I want you to think what you've seen in Darfur. And I want you to think about that it's probably going to happen here. What would happen if all of a sudden, because we have terrorists in our midst, we have Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda in our midst, and now they're thinking of releasing the prisoners at Club Gitmo into the United States. And the one who was responsible for blowing up the U.S. coal, they let him go because they couldn't bring the case against him in court, because if they did in court, they would have to reveal their CIA secret information network. And they can't do that. So we have insanity running, insanity, greed, blatantness, and lawlessness running Washington, D.C., the whole west coast of the United States, the state of Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Vermont. And those states are in trouble. Other states are not in debt like we are. So we'll just have to see what happens. But what they say, the way California goes, so goes the nation. The grave has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth without limit, and down goes her glory and multitude and brawlers, and he who rejoices in her shall go down into it. A man is bowed down, men are brought low, and the eyes of the lofty are humbled, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in judgment. See, now, what you need to understand, how important is it then for all people to keep the commandments of God? Because that's how God judges the nations. In the letter, we're not talking about salvation. We're just talking about the necessary laws to run a society and keep it decent. And God, the Holy One, is sanctified in righteousness. Then he says, Then shall the lambs feed in their own pasture, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Verse 18, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes. Now just think of this, where all of this comes from. Most of this emanates out of Hollywood and other areas of entertainment. Question. How many saw The Wizard of Oz? Everyone has seen it. Did you know that that was psychologically set up to cause people to be confused in their thinking, just like it was? See? And also the beginnings of the setting them up to bring this to children, to gradually bring in the educational system that we now have, which produces what? Wonderful little socialists who want the state to take care of them. See, you have to take the long view. Now let's continue on here. Verse 19, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know it. But they really don't want that. So here's what happens. Verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly where we are on a majority of basis of things that are going on. Why can't people have any common sense to do something that is decent, that you think of, that would be good to do? You know? Nothing wrong with that. But you can't do it because evil is good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Boy, that sounds like a lot of politicians and religionists we know, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's what we see happen. So here's what's going to happen. And we will see how it's going to be affected and what it will do to the economy. Therefore, as fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness and their blossoms shall go up like dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, all of these things happen because of what I just read here. They cast it away behind them. See? They don't want to listen to God. They don't want to follow him. Cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and has stricken them. The hills tremble. Their dead bodies were as filth in the midst of the streets, and in all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, what happens when you have a lawless society? You must have more and more and more police. Because you haven't taught the people how to govern their own lives, to have good behavior. They all lie, they all cheat, they all steal, they all connive. So the only thing you can do is have more laws, more regulation, and more police to do it, see? Because you think a lawless society, there would be no laws. No, the reaction to all of not having laws is to have more enforcement upon people, and then that breeds more lawlessness. And what does it do to the economy? Tears it all down. Why are we in the mess that we are in economically? I'll tell you why. Because everyone was greedy from the top to the bottom. The buyer, the banker. The congressman, the senators. Every single one, all the corporations, more, 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 more. And what has happened now? Is punishment for that? Economy has gone down. And where will that end up? Where will it end up? Well, it's going to end up in a very surprising way. See, because everything that I read here shows how a lawless society comes about. Now, we haven't come unglued like Mexico, but we probably will. But because we were lawless in our society and becoming more lawless in it, and we were lawless in handling the money, and remember, there is no backing to the dollar. It is a lawless piece of paper. So if you take any Federal Reserve dollar, whatever denomination of it, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. The only difference between that and monopoly money is the ink in that statement. Really is. See, so you take the deterioration of the society that parallels the deterioration of the credibility of its money. Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand. Now what the Fed is doing is becoming even more lawless. They're doing what is called monetizing the debt, which is taking debt and saying, okay, I have this debt, now it becomes an asset to me, and no one knows where all the Fed dollars go. So because we have this, now we can print more money. So they're printing trillions of dollars. It is going to be unsustainable. So what is the punishment for that going to be? Well, we read it how many times? Let's go back and just refresh our memories again. Deuteronomy 28. And I know many times in the past, with the exception to say, the last 5 years, when we would read these words, we'd think, oh, well, yeah, that's going to happen. That's sure going to happen. And a lot of us, like when Dolores and I were first married, we looked at each other and said, oh, isn't it wonderful? We're not going to get old. Whoa. Here we are. Okay. But I want you again to see the process that happens. And as I've mentioned how many times, it's the reason there are so many foreigners here is because of abortion. 50 million going 1,000 a day. Verse 43. The stranger among you shall get up above you very high. Now that's a process. That's becoming more and more and more and more. And you shall come down very low. Now here's the thing that we have really not grasped. To be brought down low means a third world existence. It says very low. Let's also understand something else concerning the prophecies of God. As I've mentioned before, God does not just fulfill them a little bit. He doesn't fulfill them half. He fulfills them to the magnitude of what he said to the fullest. So it's going to happen. You shall come down very low. How far will this go? What form will this take? Now, the reason I'm bringing these things together, because I want to bring it together in such a way that you will see that they all fit and that you will be prepared for what is coming next. And what is coming next is going to knock us down even lower. Remember in the sermons that I've given on this before, I said when this hits, we'll go down big thump. But we won't be out. We'll recover a little bit. Because this is going to come in waves. This will be a process. Now notice verse 44. Because if you read all of Deuteronomy 28, then you come to verse 44. Now everything that you have in here with all the curses affects the wealth of the nation. He shall lend to you. and you shall not loan to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now that's going to happen. We used to, as late as 1980, be the world's greatest creditor nation. Everyone was borrowing from us. But now it's the other way around. Look at the borrowers that we have embraced as friends. Red China, the Soviet Union, all the Arabs, different other states, they buy our treasury bonds. And that's how we get the money to have deficit financing of the government. And now, the wild, lawless government that is in place in Washington, D.C., wants to add $10 trillion more to the debt, which is already $10 trillion, and that doesn't count Social Security, retirements, health benefits. That doesn't count all the things that are, how should we say, built on borrowed money, the whole society. And we're going to see what they're going to do here in just a minute. And all these curses shall come on you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and statutes which I commanded you. Which he commanded you, rather. And they shall be for a sign and for a wonder on your seed forever. And that means this: wherever the children of Israel are in the world, look for these signs, from greatness and blessing down to enslavement. Here's the reason, verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Now, just put in your notes there, Deuteronomy 8, that when people get rich and fat and sassy, and they turn away from God, they don't give God credit for giving them all the things. Now, the way they perpetuate enjoying these blessings is to borrow and lie and cheat and steal. So it affects the whole economy. Now we have affected the whole world, and the whole world is angry at us. The Chinese finance minister said publicly, "We hate America. We hate the dollar." They're even threatening not to buy any treasury bonds. Now, when that happens, the value of the dollar will go down to where it really actually is, near zero. Okay? So they're looking for another solution. Now, these things have been coming along for quite a while. Let's see what China is asking for. Because they're stuck with the most trillions of dollars of American bonds and debts and so forth of any nation in the world. So they're calling for a new currency. Now, people don't understand what's going to happen when that takes place. I'll explain it to you. China's central bank on Monday, this is March 23rd, 2009, proposed replacing the U.S. dollar as the international reserve currency with a new global system controlled by the International Monetary Fund, which I said some time back that would happen. And they are actually planning through the G20. So if you want to go online and check out the G20. Keep track of them because they're planning for a new world. They'll start out, I believe, with international trade. They won't work with the dollar internally yet. But there are as many dollars out in the world as we have here. So it is a new global system. In an essay posted on the People's Bank of China website, Zhao Zichuan, the central bank's governor, said the goal would be to create a reserve currency that is disconnected from individual nations and is able to remain stable in the long run, thus removing the inherent deficiencies caused by using credit-based national currencies. What is he saying, credit-based national currency? Those are all fiat currencies, which are currencies that are not backed by real wealth, i.e. gold and silver. And sooner or later, they become nothing. This is a clear sign that the largest holder of U.S. dollar financial assets is concerned about the potential inflationary risk of the Federal Reserve printing money. Now, go online and read about Zimbabwe. They're right in the midst of a terrible, terrible inflationary spiral where they have war, starvation, they have brutality, killing, murder. It is totally lawless. Mexico's not quite as bad. Go look up Darfur and see what is happening there. Go back and read about what happened to Yugoslavia when it was split up. When it started falling apart, the currency was worthless and there was inflation and people couldn't buy anything. It was total chaos. Now picture that in America with all the divisions between the races, the hatred of the infiltrators who want to blow us up and kill us. Picture that in relationship to gangs roaming the street, total lawlessness, bashing in doors, going into houses, stealing things, killing people. And we're all programmed for it, aren't we? By all the movies, television, video games. What are they? Death, destruction, and mayhem. So whatever people feed their minds on, that's the judgment God gives back to them. The outbreak of the current crisis and its spillover to the entire nation reflected the inherent vulnerabilities and systemic risk in the existing international monetary system. At the G20, now the G20 is this, the 20 central banks that control 98% of the financing and commerce in the world. They're working on getting regulations in all their banks, which apply to all the banks in their countries, and to have an equal structure over all nations. Now that's going to lead to the one world government. But you see, we never thought that all of this would happen this way to usher in the beast at the end, did we? We never put it all together, but now I think we can see it better. All right. Among other countries, Russia has lowered its own dollar holdings in the last few years. When President Obama was questioned about it, because they're bringing out new currency. Why? Because it's coming. What they're doing is psychologically programming people for a new currency by bringing it out. And then you have someone like Japan stand up and say, well, there's really nothing to replace the dollar now. So people hear that and say, well, I guess it's going to happen. So then they hear what President Obama said when he was asked about a new currency, and the comment was made that he said, well, I don't think we need it now. So you listen to those words, he's saying, we're going to need it later. So all of the insiders are in on the fix, especially those who hold money, because they're telling us, we're not going to lose our money. We are not going to take a hit for you. So all of this is to figure out a way to minimize their losses. UN panel says world should ditch the dollar. All right, the question becomes, what will they replace it with? You have to have something you're going to trust. What is it going to be? Can't be the dollar, because it's too weak now, collapsing. Can't be the yen, because the yen isn't strong enough. Can't be the Chinese yuan, because it's not strong enough. Can't be the euro, because Europe is in trouble. It can't be the pound. So what is it going to be?